Brooklands Radio presents Surrey Business Affairs with Jackie Mitchell.
Hello and welcome to Surrey Business Affairs with me, Jackie Mitchell. We'll be covering subjects relating to business, the challenges facing businesses in the area, as well as new opportunities and innovations. And if you'd like to join in, email studio@brooklandsradio.co.uk with any comments or questions for our guests. On today's show, we have Samantha Dunnage, the High Achievers Coach, Carolina Giaconelli, Travel Counsellor, and Natasha Edge, Personal Stylist and Image Consultant. To start with, I'd like to welcome our first guest to the studio, Helen Pilmer from Direct Sellers. Hello, Helen.
Hello, Jackie. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming in, and especially as you've brought two bottles of wine with you, which I hasten to add we won't be opening. But this obviously illustrates your new business, Direct Sellers. But what were you doing before you set up?
I worked for a retail consulting company, and I was a customer relationship director running a team and large customer accounts.
So something very different then?
Very different, yes.
And how long were you doing that for?
I was doing that for about 2.5 years.
Uh-huh. And what did you start off being when you left school? What was your first job?
My first job was in retail, actually. So I went straight from school to the YTS scheme, if you remember that, going back to the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked in retail for about 10 years and then decided I might actually challenge myself and go to university. So I did that and graduated from Leeds when I was 30.
Oh, really?
Mm.
And in what subject?
Communication and cultural studies.
Right. And then from there, you then joined this big conglomerate.
I've worked for a large company since there. Yeah, absolutely. Working in retail, working with retail accounts and managing client accounts for the last 15 years before I ventured into this.
Yes. Yeah, so when was your sort of light bulb moment when you thought, right, I'm going to go it alone?
My epiphany moment was last year. I was working very, very long hours. And I thought, you know what, if I'm going to do long hours, I'm going to work for myself. So I left, not really knowing exactly what I would do. But in May, I thought, right, I'm going to search for something else. And Direct Sellers came along in the summer via the power of social media, can you believe? And I thought, that sounds really interesting. I want to work in wine. And actually, all of my friends had said to me, you're going to end up working in wine. You know, you really do need to work in wine because you enjoy wine. You know a lot about wine. And it came along and I grabbed it with both hands.
Well, that was a very brave decision to just leave your job. Had you got to the point where you thought, right, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to have to leave.
Yeah, I think I just thought, you know what? I wasn't terribly happy. I was working very long hours, weekends and every day, much, much longer than I wanted to. And I thought, you know what, let's just try something new. Let's go on to a different chapter of my life and we'll see what happens. Actually, at the very beginning of last year, I went through a process of visualising where I would be, which was standing in front of people and talking about wine and presenting wine. And 6 months later, it came into my lap. So, yeah.
Well, that's very interesting, isn't it? Yes, that's a very interesting technique. I've often heard other people mention that. Anyway, coming back to the wine, which you've kindly brought in today, you were telling me about the Amelia Park wine, saying that wine brought you into the business.
That particular wine did bring me into the business in terms of my journey with wine. So I actually visited that winery in Margaret River, Western Australia, about 15 years ago. It's not one from my club, but it's the organisation that actually I went to and decided that they had got the best wine in Margaret River. And that's where I fell in love with wine.
Gosh, what an amazing trip that must have been.
It was, yeah. I've got friends who live in Perth, so I often nip over there for a couple of weeks.
Oh, right. Have you been since you've joined Direct Sellers?
No, I went just before I left my job, actually. And
oh, okay.
It was the moment where I made that final decision.
Okay. And what's so special about Amelia Park wine?
I think it's because the vines were, I think they were planted in the 70s. And actually, the guys that started the company originally, not Amelia Park, a different company, many years ago, they really knew what they were doing. And they had got some of the best vines in Margaret River that most other growers would say were the best vines. So, and I'm partial to a Cabernet Sauvignon, so
okay,
that's what they're well known for.
Okay, so you said you discovered Direct Sellers on social media. What Facebook, Twitter?
It was Facebook, yes. You know, very crazily, if a friend of yours likes a page, you get to see it in your Facebook stream, and that's what happened. So there was a little notice, it's a new wine business, do you like wine, would you like to drink wine? And I thought, I want to find out a bit more information about that. So I did.
And so it's a US company, isn't it? But it's only been going in the UK 6 months, I believe.
Correct. So we started 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. We grew very, very quickly in the USA. And we started the club on the 1st of September last year. And it's been growing steadily ever since.
So it's not a franchise business. You're what's termed a business partner. So I assume you have to pay something to join it?
Correct. Yeah, there is a fee to join. But there are no ongoing costs. I get my product for free. We don't keep any product ourselves. It gets shipped directly to the customer. So it's an exceptionally low cost business model.
Right. And then how does it work then? How do you sell the wines?
So people sign up to the club. So we offer a case of three or a case of six wines. And people sign up and they receive their wine 2 or 3 days later, a nice little box on their front doorstep. And it's a tasting club. So we don't know what we're getting in our cases, which is quite nice, actually. I've had some fabulous different wines, including the Malbec, which is sat there. I had that last month, and I'm expecting to get my next case over the next couple of days. So I'm really looking forward to it and seeing what the company has selected for us.
Yes, so this is a Zuccardi Q Malbec. So can you tell us something about that and what makes it special?
It's fabulous. It's a very sort of heavy red. So if you like your sort of heavier reds, it's not light. So it's something that would go very well with pastas and meats. But actually, one of the best pairing notes that I've had with this is that it goes fabulous with chocolate cake. So I did a tasting relatively recently in Weybridge and at Powers Restaurant, and they put together all of the food pairing for the wines, and we had a fabulous chocolate brownie that was made by Tori, who owns Powers, and absolutely beautiful it was, and it goes fabulously well together.
Yes, because you'd never think about putting chocolate cake with red wine, would you?
You wouldn't. You absolutely wouldn't. But it goes superbly well, and I would just encourage anyone to give it a try. We produce tasting notes with our wines in each box, so it gives you an overview of where the wine has come from, what the alcohol content is, and any recommendations for a food pairing that we would suggest.
Right, okay. And then how did you sort of join up direct sellers? And do you have special evenings in people's homes where you sell the wines? How does it work?
Absolutely. People can go onto my website and sign up from there. Or I host events in people's homes. Next week I've got a networking and wine tasting event at Surbiton Golf Club. So I'm hosting events sort of most months, either in people's homes or in public spaces or a combination of both.
Because that's a really good idea, isn't it? Because people can taste the wine and decide whether they like it or not before committing themselves.
I think that's important, really, because it's quite sociable and it gives people an opportunity to try something that they haven't done. And, you know, signing up for something new is a commitment. And actually the best way of doing that is to do it when you are there and you've got a few options in front of you.
Right. And how much support do direct sellers give you then in starting your business?
Phenomenal amount of support. So they provide us with training, outstanding training. The UK leadership team are superb. I've never been involved in network marketing business before, so I have no preconceptions other than they are very supportive and they offer lots of guidance. And actually, we had a UK soft launch this weekend in Leeds, and we had the USA president and master distributor come over and talk to us and offer some training and some advice to us as we're setting out on our first year in the UK. So, yeah, it's going very well.
So they helped you to promote your business once you started it?
They do, actually. They give you some paperwork and they offer training and recommendations of how to promote your business locally, yes.
And then you also mentioned that you're looking to recruit people yourself. So
absolutely.
What sort of people are you looking for?
Anyone. I think that no one should discount this type of product and network marketing in terms of a profession, either as a full-time job or something that you might want to start as a sideline to what you're already doing. It's really liberated an awful lot of people in terms of the incomes that it can offer. Anything from, you know, £50 a month to pay your mobile phone bill to a car payment or to pay for the annual holiday every year. So it's a fabulous industry to be involved in.
And what would you say are the advantages of becoming a partner in direct sellers?
Advantages, I think, for most people are you can fit it in around any job that you have. You can put as much time or as little time into it. The most important thing with network marketing is to really be consistent with your time. So if you've got 1 hour a day or 10 hours a day, just commit your time each day and each week in order to kind of get your business off the ground. And go with a business that you like the sound of and you like the product. You know, for me, this was really about wine. You know, I'm now a true understander and believer of network marketing. But for me, it was the product here that really brought me to it.
Would you say that people would need a knowledge of wine to
Absolutely
take it on?
Absolutely not. No, not at all. We offer training in terms of what the wine is, where the wine is from. So we offer all of that training. It comes not only in the tasting notes, but we have a guy who is our director of wine, a guy called Jerry Greenfield, and he actually writes for the New York Times, and he also is the person that disseminates all of the information about the wine. So he's a huge oracle of wine, and he provides a lot of information. So that's where we get a lot of our information from.
And what sort of wines are they? Are they from all over the world or...?
All over the world, pretty much. We've got wines from North America, Spain, France, Italy, South America. This Malbec is from South America. In my boxes last month, I had South African wine, and I also had Italian wine. So all over the place, and different grape varieties. So grape varieties that I hadn't tasted myself before. So it's been enlightening for me, really. Being a girl that's always travelled to Margaret River and drank her Cabernet Sauvignon, to be tasting fabulous wines from around the world.
And what would you say are the most popular wines right now?
I think Malbec is very popular. Over Christmas, Grenache, Pinot Noir, because they go very well with the traditional meats at Christmas. But you know what? I think wine is a journey of discovery, but also whatever you like, you know. So regardless of what is fashionable now, you know, enjoy your wine and drink good quality wine.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you very much for coming in, and especially bringing in the wine to show us. Could you give us your website details if people want to get more information?
Absolutely. So it's www.directsellers.com/Helen Pilmer.
Thank you, Helen.
Thank you.
That was Helen Pilmer from Direct Sellers. And in the second part of our show, we're going to be talking to Samantha Dunnage, known as the High Achievers Coach.
You're listening to Surrey Business Affairs on Brooklyn's Radio, for and about local businesses in Surrey.
Discover the delights of Lebanese cuisine at the brilliant Mazat in Weybridge. Found right in the town centre, this popular restaurant and grill offers locals a great dining destination and the chance to sample some of Lebanon's greatest dishes. Whether it's a meal for two, a meal out with a family, or dinner with a group of friends, Mazat guarantees an enjoyable experience.
Are you selling? Are you renting? If so, your first step is to talk to the team at V&H Homes. V&H Homes is an award-winning estate agency that covers Ashted, Fetcham, Leatherhead, Epsom and now Bookham. With experienced and welcoming staff, we are an expanding and market-leading agency that you can trust. Call us today to discuss your property requirements and request a free valuation with no obligation. Or why don't you visit our website at vhhomes.co.uk and see what our customers have to say about us. We know you'll be impressed. V&H Homes is extraordinary. Come and see why.
It's Surrey Business Affairs with Jackie Mitchell.
Hello there and welcome back to Surrey Business Affairs with me, Jackie Mitchell. I'm now joined in the studio by Samantha Dunnage, known as the High Achievers Coach. Hello there, Samantha.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for the invite.
Okay, before you became a coach, what did you do?
I had a career in sales and then IT consulting after that.
What sort of sales? What were you selling?
Chemistry equipment, of all things.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I started off as a chemist, actually, and then went into selling chemistry equipment.
Uh-huh. And then what happened?
I burnt out from lots of travelling and just decided I didn't really want to do sales anymore. So I went into IT consulting as a kind of self-employed work, but I still wasn't really what I was called to do, if you like.
Right.
So yeah, I think now that I've found coaching. It's what I really, really want to be doing.
Yes, because you also had IBS and chronic back pain.
Yeah, I had a lot of stress and anxiety in my 20s. Social anxiety was causing me a lot of issues. Found it very difficult to socialise and have much of a life. So that manifested as back pain, IBS, a few other things. So it took a long time for me to kind of retrain my brain and get out of that anxiety and learn how to use my mind in a better way.
Yes, and then at 29 you burnt out and couldn't work.
Yeah, for a few months I was just at home.
And you had sort of stressful work that contributed to this.
Yeah, it was a combination of work and a relationship breakup, and a few different things happened at the same time, and it just I wasn't equipped to deal with the emotions and the thoughts I was having. So,
and when you say burnout, how would you define burnout?
Yeah. For me, I just got really, really low energy and wasn't sleeping. I had insomnia, so, and just very jittery, very, very anxious, and just couldn't partake in the world. I just had to be in my house and keeping myself away from everything.
Would you say burnout is quite a common problem today?
Yeah, and I think it's getting worse. I think we grow up thinking we have to be strong and we have to put up with a lot of trauma, and we can't talk about things. I mean, today is actually time to talk. So it's a day for people to talk about mental health and things like that. There's a lot of shame around mental health. I think it's part of our modern living that we...
Yes, and so how did you go about training as a coach?
I initially did some research to find a course that I wanted to work on, and found Animas Coaching in London. Mm-hmm. They're a fantastic school. Their course is very, very comprehensive. It goes into a lot of deep methods that are used in therapy as well as coaching. So it gives you a really strong base to work with. And then I've also learned other techniques like NLP, which is used a lot in success and business world, and also EFT, emotional freedom technique, which is great for dealing with emotional issues.
Yes, and so you became a coach, and then how long ago was that?
I started my business last year, so it's about a year.
Gosh, so not long at all. So yeah. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going really well. I love working with clients. That's kind of just my passion. I can do that till the cows come home. I find the other side of it, the marketing and the getting your message out there is probably a bit more of the challenging side and takes a bit longer than I expected to get all that stuff
done. And who are your typical clients?
They tend to be business owners who are quite early stage. So they might have had a successful career in business, in a job, and then they've decided to follow their passion and set up their own business. And at this point, it's when all those insecurities come up, all these fears. People have a lot of issues around charging for their work, so money beliefs, and also about being visible and showing themselves, because it's different for me. Like, selling a product is different to selling yourself, so you get a lot of anxiety and fear that comes up at that stage. And I think also the change from going from having structure in your life to, you've got all this freedom and all this time, and how are you going to structure your day, and like that can be enough of a big change for someone to get quite insecure.
So how do you work with them? How do you help them?
I have a 6-month program for business owners, so I see them every 2 weeks, and we start by, it depends how much work they've already done, so it could be that we build a vision for their business and we look at all their limiting beliefs. So people often fall into a trap of doing what they think they should do or what they think they can earn money from, rather than what they're actually really passionate about. So I help to keep them on the right track there. And then I use some of the unconscious mind work, so NLP, EFT, matrix reimprinting, to clear all of those limiting beliefs so that they can easily move forward.
Yes, and what is matrix reimprinting? Because that sounds really quite fascinating.
Oh, it's my favourite thing ever in the whole world. It's a technique where we go into the unconscious mind and look at situations in childhood which were traumatic. So as a small child, anything can be traumatic. So being born can be traumatic. Being lost in the supermarket can be traumatic. So in these moments of trauma, we create the belief, these limiting beliefs. So it's, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I don't deserve, you know, all of these things that we, once we have the belief, we carry them through our lives and we keep repeating the same patterns over and over again. So with this technique, we pinpoint the beliefs and we go back and we change them. So we don't deny that.
How do you change them?
So it's working with your inner child. So you go, we have a technique to get back into the memory. And as an adult, you can see that, oh, okay, you've just been lost in the supermarket. Your mum's over there. You're going to be fine. You're going to survive. But as a, that that scenario is still playing out in your unconscious mind now as an adult. So we go back and explain to the child that they're safe and everything's going to be okay, and we release the emotion that they're feeling so that they don't have that trauma anymore.
Right, okay.
Because you can imagine in your mind you've got all of these experiences informing you now. So if, for instance, coming here today, if I had beliefs about, if I'd stood up at school and everyone had laughed at me, that's something that I might be re-experiencing emotionally right now, and that might be causing, palpitations and nervousness. So if we go back and work with the younger version of you to clear it, then it can have an effect, really big effect on you now.
Fantastic. So, and how many sessions would a business owner have with you to sort of get through all that?
I do a 6-month program, so it's 12 sessions.
Uh-huh.
It really depends on what, if they've got a specific issue they want to work with, and sometimes I'll work with one or two sessions. But we've all got lots and lots of limiting beliefs, and they all interplay with each other. So it's good to have sessions over a set period of time so that you can, because once you've cleared a belief, you can move forward, and then you might hit another obstacle and you just want to keep moving forward.
So yes,
I like working with people over a longer period of time.
Sure. And how much do you charge them, or is it a sort of sliding scale according to their needs?
It does vary. So I charge about £3,000 for the 6-month program. I also have a free Facebook group where I do a lot of work for free with people, and I'm coming up with an intermediate product at the moment, which will probably be a group program.
And how did you find working for yourself? Because you'd been obviously been in a company, and suddenly you were working for yourself.
I quite liked working on my own. I didn't have a problem with. I think a lot of people struggle with not being around people. I've always been quite independent. I've got beliefs about wanting to be on my own, so that's fine. So it can work for me quite positively. I think the structure of not having set hours to work, I do find a bit of a challenge sometimes. So I tend to book in clients on 3 days a week, and then I have a day either side when I do my marketing. And
And can you tell me a bit about the EFT practitioner, being an EFT practitioner? How does that work? What is that exactly?
So EFT is also known as tapping. So it's called emotional freedom technique. And this is working with the meridians in the body. So if you went to get acupuncture, they would stick needles in you. But we can have a similar effect with tapping. So we tap on different points of the body in order to take the body out of stress and into a rest and repair mode. So whenever you're feeling anxiety, obviously that's quite obvious that it's stress, but if you're procrastinating or you're feeling frustrated, overwhelmed, that is also a stress response. So you basically tap on the points, which I'm doing, and it's radio.
Oh, never mind. I'm enjoying watching.
Yeah, so tapping on points in your head and your hands, basically. And you talk through how you're feeling. So you acknowledge that you're feeling overwhelmed, and you acknowledge what you're feeling overwhelmed about. And it's a way of your body to release the emotion. So you can either you'll get down to something deeper. So there's actually something deeper that's going on. It might be sadness or anger. And then you can release that. Or it might just be that you're just a little bit overwhelmed, you need a few rounds of tapping, and then you can feel better. Because if you're in a stress response, the way that you think is going to be very different to when you're feeling confident and happy.
Of course, yes. Yeah. And looking at your website, it was quite interesting to see about what you were saying about overwork, burnout, and people feeling guilty taking time off. Mm-hmm. So is that a common problem? People are overworking right now?
Yeah, I think because you do have that guilt, your behaviour is driven by your emotions. So you might think you need to have time off, but if you're feeling guilty about it, then you're not going to do it.
Right.
So yeah, if you've got beliefs about having to work hard and be perfect and be strong and all of that, then
so do you have any tips for listeners on how they can stop overworking, getting a better time life balance?
I think if you can, the first step to any change is awareness. So if you can become aware of why you're not doing it, so are you feeling guilty? If you are, what are you feeling guilty about? And once you start to pick away at your own thoughts, you can look more objectively and say, well, actually, you know, I don't need to feel guilty. I can take time off. I deserve to take time off.
Okay, that's great. Well, thanks very much for coming in to see us. Would you like to give us your website details in case people want to get more information?
Sure. My website is samanthadunnage.com. And I also have the free Facebook group, the Soulful Business Network.
Okay, thank you very much, Samantha. That was Samantha Dunnage, the High Achievers Coach. In the next part of our programme, we're going to be talking to Carolina Iaconelli, who is a travel counsellor.
Surrey Business Affairs, for and about local businesses in Surrey.
Your family's well-being is your everything, and at West Byfleet's private GP clinic, we provide accessible expert advice for everyone. GP appointments, earwax removal, travel clinic, health checks, blood tests, aesthetics, to name but a few of our services. Visit privategpclinic.co.uk or speak to our friendly team on 01932 344 004. Private GP Clinic West Byfleet is regulated by the Care Quality Commission.
Apple devices and IT systems are a crucial part of modern-day businesses. Any business can be seriously disrupted by unexpected IT failure. If you're a business owner and your company needs peace of mind Apple Mac support, please call 07907 795000 or visit www.rafalcookler.com and speak with Rafal, your local Apple certified support professional today. That's 07907 795000 for peace of mind Apple support.
It's Surrey Business Affairs with Jackie Mitchell.
Hello there and welcome back to Surrey Business Affairs with me, Jackie Mitchell. I'm now joined in the studio by Caroline Iaconelli, who is a travel counsellor. Hello there, Caroline.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. So before you became a travel counsellor, what were you doing?
I worked in travel agencies all my life. I've done business travel. I've done leisure. I work for an airline, so I've always worked in tourism.
And obviously, judging by your accent, not always in the UK.
No, that's right.
So where are you from?
I'm French. I'm from Grenoble, which is southeast of France.
Oh, so lovely.
Yeah. So, yes, I started my career in France. And then I moved to the UK 10 years ago, as you can tell with my accent.
Lovely accent. Beautiful it is. So 10 years ago. So you obviously like it here.
I love it here. I wouldn't change anything here.
Okay. And then how long ago was it that you decided I want to work for myself?
Well, I've been thinking about it for a while. I was never happy with all the service we provided, or it was always something that I wasn't happy with, like what I had to book some specific things, so I started to think about it a while ago. And then in May 2017, I started with travel counselors.
Sorry, when? When did you start with them?
In May last year.
Oh, May last year. So yeah. very new then.
Yeah, it's still quite new, but I'm loving it.
So tell us about travel counsellors, because there are independent travel counsellors all part of this same body, aren't they?
Exactly. Travel counsellors, it's a franchise. Mm. So it was important to me to be able to offer still great fares. I don't think I would be able to just do it by myself. So we're part of a big franchise. We have great negotiated fares. We have contract with hotels, cruise line, airlines, everything. But we are self-employed, so we offer the service we want, we book what we want, and yeah, that's the main thing for my clients, I think.
And so what made you become a franchisee rather than just start a business?
It's the negotiated fares. I really wanted to have great fares. At the same time as offering a great customer service. So travel counselors, they are in 7 countries now, I think. There's like 1,600 travel counselors worldwide. So we have a great purchasing power, and we do have great negotiated fares.
And presumably to become a franchisee, to join travel counsellors, you have to pay a fee, do you? Or how does it work?
Yeah, it was a very low fee to start with. So, yeah, it's not a huge investment. It's a great time investment, though. I think I'm working a lot more than before, but at the same time, I feel free.
Of course, yes. So you started up last year, and yes. So how did you promote your business?
So I go to lots of local networking groups, and it's a lot of word to mouth once you started and you have a few clients. They talk about if they're happy with your service, they talk about you, and so that's how it builds up. And yeah, it's been good so far.
Are there any particular networking groups that work better for you than others?
I'm with Omni Local, so I go to different groups, and yes, they are very great. And the Kingston Chamber of Commerce,
which is
quite good as well. Yes.
Oh, that's good. Yes. Yeah. So you obviously have a great knowledge of travel.
That's all I know, I want to say. Yes. Travel is all I know. I've been doing that all my working life. So, and that's I love.
Yes, because travel counsellors I've worked with before, they all have this incredible knowledge, local knowledge of places, you know, which of course you don't get when you go on the internet, do you?
It's exactly,
just all you see
yes.
a website. You don't have any on-the-spot knowledge.
Yes, I think we all travel a lot. I think it's important in the business. And then we have local contact. If I don't know a specific place, I know I have someone I can talk to who's been there or who knows someone. So that's a great, we share a lot of our knowledge. So that's a good point as well.
And what would you say are the benefits of somebody booking their trip through you rather than going onto a website?
So first of all, I want to say it's not always more expensive to go through a travel agency. And when I first started, lots of my clients, they had a problem before. So it can be a big problem, like when the ash cloud from the volcano or a strike or something. But it can be a small problem, like a delay on a flight, and then you don't have your transfer, and then you arrive, the hotel is closed or something like that. It can be a very small thing, but it's a bad start of your holidays. And if you book something online, you book your flight and the hotel on another website, you don't have anyone to talk to. If I book everything for you, you always have someone to contact. I'm available 24 hours, 7 days a week. I'm just a phone call or a text away, so I can sort. And I used to work in an emergency service of a big travel agency, so I can sort out almost any problem.
Oh, well, that sounds very, very impressive indeed, yes. And are there any particular destinations that you specialize in, or do you cover the world?
No, I cover, the world. I live for 1 year in New Zealand, and I traveled a lot in the South Pacific, so, and the Southeast Asia as well. So, yeah, I know this part of the world quite well. And in November, I was in Nicaragua, and I really want to encourage more people to go to Nicaragua because it's a really nice little country.
Yeah, well, yes, why? What are the benefits of Nicaragua?
Nicaragua, it's really nice. You have volcanoes. active volcanoes, that you can look at the lava. The people are really nice. It just started to open up like 15, 20 years ago, so there's not a lot of tourists. And it's still very cheap, but people are really nice. And it's the safest country in Latin America. And the most amazing thing I've done, I think, in all my travel, I took a baby turtle in my hand and I released it in the sea. And just watching her running to the sea.
How wonderful. That's an otter. Did you say an otter? Baby otter?
A baby turtle.
I beg your pardon. Okay, so, really? Oh, how that must have been amazing.
It was amazing, yes.
And do you do a lot of arrangements for business people?
I do, yes, business travel as well. It's the same customer service, that's what is important for me.
And what do you think are the biggest problems for business travellers?
The biggest problem for the travellers?
For business, for people on business.
It's the the delays on the flight, probably. And so that's how they miss their meeting. So it's important to be available when they need you, being 6 a.m. or 11 p.m., always just a phone call away, so I can always rearrange the trip.
And also the location of the hotels as well, I suppose that's quite crucial, that they're going to be near their meeting.
Yes, yes, it's important to choose the right hotel, the right taxi company who you know is going to show up in time. Yeah, that's all the little details that make a big trip, a big difference at the end of the trip, sorry.
And of course, that's the other thing. If people just book their travel through websites, they have no idea what the hotel's going to be like. I mean, you hear all these horror stories of people looking at these fabulous hotels, and then when they arrive, it's just, you know, a terrible situation.
Yeah, you can have a very bad surprise when you arrive. You can. The main thing is, if you book your flight on a website and you book your hotel on another website, and something goes wrong, you're not covered for anything. If you book everything at the same time, you at least have the ATOL coverage, so you will have a refund, or we can rearrange the holidays or the business trip. Things you don't have if you have booked your flight on the BA website and the hotel on another website, then it's lost.
Yes, indeed. But and of course, booking the travel through you, you would be looking after
you have the guarantee, yes. And we have our own trust, so everything is 100% covered. No if, no buts, you will be covered, yes.
And what do you find? What are the most popular destinations for business travelers at the moment?
Oh, it's hard to say. Okay. The US are always popular. New York, I think that must be the number one destinations, probably.
Interesting.
And lots of Europe.
Interesting. Yeah. And what about for consumers then? What are the most popular?
The leisure.
For the leisure, yes.
Hard to say. the Caribbeans are very popular. It's very easy to go. It's not very expensive. You're almost certain to have good weather. Mauritius, the Maldives, depending on the budget. And a big one now is South Africa. Yeah, it's very different. And because they are on the southern hemisphere, they have their summer when it's winter. So it's a nice destination to go to the beginning of the year and see the animals.
Sounds wonderful. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, no. Each time I arrange a new trip, I want to go as well. So, I need to add that on my list.
And do you have any tips for our listeners at all about setting up business?
About setting up a business, yes. I would say go for it. I think it's the best decision I've made recently.
And go to some networking meetings, by
yes,
the sounds of it.
Yes, meet as much people as you can. I think it made a big difference in my business. So yes, networking is a great opportunity to meet people.
Okay, thank you very much, Caroline.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was Caroline Giaconella from Travel Counsellors. In the next part of our programme, we'll be talking to Natasha Edge, personal stylist.
You're listening to Surrey Business Affairs on Brooklyn's Radio, for and about local businesses in Surrey.
I'm so glad you're open.
Thank goodness you're here.
Do you ever close?
Did you know the pharmacy at 20 Church Street, Weybridge, is open 100 hours every week to meet your immediate medical needs? We're here for you from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. weekdays, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturdays, and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sundays. Our friendly and knowledgeable team can provide you with the advice you need, as well as helping you with repeat prescriptions, all the over-the-counter products you would expect, and if you can't get in to visit us, we will deliver to you. The Pharmacy, 20 Church Street, Weybridge. We're here when you need us, 100 hours every week.
Manny's sauces believe in better, believe in healthier, believe in greener, and believe in quality.
Whether I'm making a barbecue, roast, stir-fry, a curry, casserole, or stew, Manny's sauces have the right sauce for me to impress with my cooking.
Manny's sauces are ideal for parents to easily make healthy and tasty meals for their children, keeping them happy and healthy.
I like it that they're free from allergens, vegan-friendly, 100% British, and there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
So whether it's marinades, cooking sauces, table sauces or curries, Manny's sauces make a difference and help you take control of your kitchen.
Do what I did. Visit mannysauces.com to see their awesome range of sauces.
Manny's sauces, it's the only hot sauce and marinade you need.
It's Surrey Business Affairs with Jackie Mitchell.
Hello there and welcome back to Surrey Business Affairs with me, Jackie Mitchell. I'm now joined in the studio by Natasha Edge, personal stylist and image consultant. Hello there, Natasha.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, good to see you.
Yeah.
So what were you doing then before you became a personal stylist and image consultant?
I was in recruitment. So I specialised in engineering recruitment. So, for example, I had clients as Network Rail, LUL, Balfour Beatty. So I did that in UK and in Europe.
Oh, right. So what happened then? How did you make the transition from that to being a personal stylist?
Yeah, well, my background before I actually sort of fell into recruitment, and I do say fell, was I went to the London College of Fashion. So I actually studied fashion media and design. So I went to into a job which was recruitment, discovered I really liked it. And then a lot of people say it's quite a big change from recruitment into what I do now, but I sort of don't see it that way, because I think a lot of recruitment and how people get jobs is obviously based on the way they look and first impressions. So I like to kind of utilise that experience that I've got in what I do now.
Right. So what happened? When was the moment where you suddenly said, right, I'm going to leave this. I'm going to become a personal stylist. What?
It was about 2 years ago. And I actually had the opportunity to be made redundant. The company I was working for offered me a role in London, because they were relocating. And because I've got a small or a young son, I didn't want to do the full-time role in London. So I kind of had a bit of a decision to make, decided to use my redundancy money, to set up my own business and do something that I'd always dreamt of doing.
Right. And then so how did you go about setting up the business?
First thing first, I decided to actually go back and re-qualify, because I felt obviously to be someone who was kind of earned respect and be able to do the job fully, I would have to go back. So I went to Colour Me Beautiful in London and I did a personal styling course. So I did all their colour by drapes, all the drape analysis, and then just did some home learning as well and went back to some of the contacts that I'd had previously, and just studied myself and then obviously set up working from home.
Right, okay. And how long ago was this?
That was about 2 and a bit years ago now, so a little while ago.
Okay, and how
lots
did you,
happened.
I bet. And yeah. How did you start building up your client base?
First thing I did, I think, was I joined a couple of networking groups, because I do think networking and a lot of the way I win business is by people either having used me or, you know, meet me and introduce me to other people. I did a lot of social media, so I set up my own website, Facebook page, Instagram, LinkedIn. And LinkedIn's quite a big thing for me, because I work quite a lot on the corporate side, so a lot of professional women, I go in and actually speak to groups on personal branding and, you know, dress for success, that kind of thing. So lots of different kind of media that I use, really, but a kind of mix works for me, really.
Right, okay. And it's quite interesting, isn't it, as you said earlier, that people do take into account somebody's appearance when they go for an interview.
Very much, yeah.
And according to this study, Harvard Study Communications, when somebody makes a first impression, it's 55% visual and only 7% on the words that they say.
Very
which
much.
Is extraordinary.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I think, like you say, when someone walks through the door, you know, your instant thing is to look them up and down. And unfortunately, we live in a world of the selfie, which, you know, whether you like it or not, people are judged for the way they look. So I think if you've got two people up for the same role, both got the same education or CV, and one of them looks the part, or you fit sort of fits with your brand as a company better, then I think you are going to choose that person over the one that maybe doesn't look so good. Because I think it's the image that you portray. I say I do a lot on personal brand, and I think if you kind of don't make an effort, maybe you haven't washed your hair that day, or you look as if you've just rolled out of bed when you go to work, I think it does come across as maybe a bit lazy, and maybe people think that that's actually going to, you know, sort of go into your role as well.
And what about the tattoos?
I think it depends on what role you are. I mean, obviously, I think if you're client facing, then, you know, it's down to the company themselves to kind of think whether that's relevant, whether you need to hide them or not. I think it's a personal thing. I mean, I personally don't have an issue with tattoos, but again, I think it depends very much on the role and, you know, the job that you have.
Sure, sure. And what do you think are the most common mistakes that people make with their personal appearance, especially when they're going into interviews?
Probably not wearing colour. I think I'm very big on colour. I think colour can actually make a person feel confident. I think it can actually make them speak more clearly and hold their head high. I think if you're feeling good, then that actually comes across. So I think if you dress the part, you know that you look smart, you feel good, maybe you're wearing a colour that suits you. I think that actually radiates. I think that actually comes across. So I think people should be themselves, though, as well, in saying that. I don't think you should, you know, do something that makes you feel not comfortable in yourself. I think you very much should be who you are.
OK, and so how do you work with individuals? Do you start off with the colour analyst?
Yeah, I think colour's a good basis for any kind of consultation that I do. So if you've done the person's colour, then you kind of know what is going to suit them. So obviously then if I take them shopping, I can pick things a lot quicker. You can sort of tell just by looking at someone, or I can now, what's actually going to, you know, to suit the way they look. And but it's also to do with their lifestyle as well.
Sure, and the work they do, I guess.
Very much. I mean, you know, obviously, if you're a stay-at-home mum, then, you know, you're gonna probably want to dress a certain way. So yeah, lifestyle and what they do in their day is very important.
Okay, you mentioned earlier that you do a lot of workshops and training. So how does that work? Do you actually go into the company's premises and do it there?
Yeah, so I do a lot of parties as well. So for ladies that have a group of friends or, you know, networking colleagues, then I'll go and actually do a party at home. I've worked with the National Gallery. I was there a couple of weeks ago with their HR team. So they have quite a young sort of graduate team, and they wanted someone to go in and teach them the importance of building their own personal brand. You know, it wasn't just the way that they looked, it was the way they were actually perceived in the office, down to how tidy their desk was. It's all a sort of attitude and perception. So yeah, I do lots of groups, both on a corporate way and, you know, sort of individually.
And so how do people go about building a personal brand?
I think you need to think about what you are. I mean, the way, if I do a training course, then I always ask people to draw a circle, and within that circle they write things that are personal to them and the way they think they're perceived. So off the top of my head, if I was to do one for me, then I would say I'm quite organized. I'd say I'm probably quite tidy, quite smart, maybe quite well groomed. But then it's also important outside of the box to sort of put your negative things or things that you actually want to improve. So I think your personal brand is a whole perception of how you're perceived. It's not just your image or the clothes that you wear.
Right. Okay. And do you, a lot of your clients men?
I think it's probably 70% women, and the rest sort of 30% men. But yeah, I mean, you know, I do get male clients. I tend to find I get more men sort of inquire about personal shopping or the image sort of appointments, and then they don't always follow it up. So I think there's a little bit of fear or something with male clients. Tends to the women usually sort of follow up and then actually book.
But it must be a bit more challenging to have male clients because after all, they're a bit sort of limited in what sort of clothes they wear to work, aren't they, really?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. I think men sometimes are actually easier to work with.
Oh, really?
Because men are often quite pleased to be guided. So men are quite happy for someone to sort of take control of the appointment. So they're quite happy if you to suggest things, whereas women, I think, sometimes have a stronger personality and will say what they want or their likes or their dislikes, where men are a little bit more laid back and they're happy for you to suggest things. So it depends, obviously, on the individual. But
sure.
No, I don't think men are necessarily harder. It'd be nice to work with more men.
Okay. And so you're talking about the workshops you put on for businesses. So,
yeah.
So would that be, what, 1 or 2 hours? And what sort of things would you cover?
Yeah, usually I would say they're between 2 and 4 hours. 4 hours is kind of a standard length that I would do. I would do a mini colour analysis on all of the individuals that take part. We then talk about, the personal branding. I then talk about introducing colour into their work wardrobe, because obviously by then we would have known what colours suit them. So maybe how to introduce colour, the perception of colour. So, for example, red is obviously seen as a very fiery, a passionate, maybe quite a confident person. So it's looking at all the different colours and, you know, and how they're perceived when someone wears them. And then kind of finishing up, maybe, you know, what they can do for themselves to change their work wardrobe and how they can make themselves feel better. So there's usually about four or five elements that are covered during a morning or afternoon.
Okay, and then for individuals, you do a lot of other services, don't you? Because you do the wardrobe, going through people's wardrobes.
That's it, the detox, yeah.
I like it, detox, very good, yeah. So what does that entail?
The wardrobe detox, people tend to think I turn up and just sort of go through their wardrobe and tell them to throw away a lot of clothes. It's not that at all. It's quite a tiring process for both parties. Usually a good wardrobe detox is about 6 hours. First things first, we break the wardrobe into like, love or lose, so we know what we're actually working with. I then get the individual to try on probably a high percentage of the clothes that they like, and then we know or get to understand through that process what they do like, whether they're wearing a lot of pattern, you know, what colours are in there. Usually there's a lot of dull or neutral colours in people's wardrobe. There's rarely much colour. So we then sort of sort all that out. Then I look at how they can accessorise those outfits better. So maybe, I don't know, tying scarves or introducing more jewellery, types of shoe that work well with certain things. People often like to take Polaroids or, you know, photographs of the outfits once they're put together so they can actually keep that image in their mind or maybe stick it to the back of the wardrobe door. So it's a long process, but it's quite therapeutic as well. Certainly seeing the pile of clothes at the end of the afternoon or whatever is quite good.
Yes, because I read something astonishing that apparently the average woman only wears 20% of their wardrobe, yeah. Which seems extraordinary.
I can totally believe that. I do think that's actually a very accurate you know, kind of description of most women that I've worked with, certainly women. And I think the other thing that always surprises me is how many new clothes with labels on that women actually have hanging in their wardrobe. I did a detox last week with a lady, and certainly she wore no more than 20-30% of her wardrobe. Things that had labels on, things still in bags and packaging. And she couldn't give me an answer why she hadn't worn them. I think a lot of women go out and they buy stuff because they like it, rather than actually thinking about what they're buying, whether it actually goes with anything that's in their wardrobe already, or how they're going to wear it. So one of the things I try and teach them during the detox is maybe thinking about, you know, actually creating a proper shopping list. So they go out with a very sort of strict image in their mind of what they're looking for and what it's actually going to go with, because then you don't have those kind of odd items hanging in your wardrobe that don't go with anything, and you don't know what you're going to wear it with, and you're not sure why you bought it.
Sure, and of course sales is another thing, isn't it? People often do an impulse sales buy.
Very much, and that was actually a big thing for the lady that I was with last week. You know, oh, well, it only cost me £12 in the sale, or it was half price, but why did you buy it? What's it going to go with? So I do think the sales play a big part, and also online shopping. It's very easy these days to kind of sit there late at night or first thing in the morning Googling, you know, to suddenly think, oh, I can get an outfit delivered the next day for Friday night kind of thing. So it's very easy, and it's all very accessible these days.
Yes, and of course with the online shopping, the problem is that you get it and it doesn't fit and you've got to take it back and all
that. Yeah, and that often puts people off actually. So, you know, they don't always send it back. They kind of think, oh, I'll keep it, or maybe I'll lose weight, or, you know, those common things that, you know, we all think every day. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, those things are usually the things that end up in the back of your wardrobe with the label on.
Yes, indeed. And another service you do is the shopping. So,
yes.
So you take somebody to a shopping centre for 2 hours or something?
Yeah, it works two ways. I can either go with the person, which is probably the most common, where I go with them shopping to wherever the nearest town is. Usually a shop is up to 6 hours. Again, it's just a flat sort of day rate that I charge.
Gosh, 6 hours, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it depends obviously what we're looking for, but we like, you know, I like that you have to sort of take into consideration a lunch break and some coffees, because obviously it is tiring and someone's trying on a lot of clothes. So you need to be in the right mindset to do that. So yeah, as we go shopping, I'll guide them through picking out items, whether it's because of right colour, body shape, etc. So I'll stay with them, or I actually have clients who like me to go shopping on their behalf, and then I actually bring the clothes either to their home or their office or my studio, wherever it is, because they don't like shopping. Not everyone likes shopping.
No.
And they like me to actually do that part for them, and they just have the nice bit of kind of going through the rack as such and choosing what they like.
But I guess as you work with people, you get to know what they need, and
yeah,
so you can,
and that's
not
why
too difficult.
It's good if you you've done an image consultation first, which is colour and actually looking at their body shape, the actual style and cut of clothes that fits them and their lifestyle, and then obviously you've got a really good basis to go on and do a shop or a detox or all those kind of things afterwards.
Okay then, well thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much, Natasha. And I'd like to thank all our guests today, Helen Pilmer, Direct Sellers, Samantha Dunnage, the High Achievers Coach, Caroline Kiyokanila, Travel Counsellor, and Natasha Edge, Personal Stylist. And thank you to my producer, Graham Laycock. And to stay in touch, or if you know any business people who should be on our programme, please email studio@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details and a little bit about them. And do follow us on Twitter, at Brooklands Radio. Do visit the Business Affairs webpage on brooklandsradio.co.uk for details of forthcoming guests and to listen to previous editions of Surrey Business Affairs. This show will be repeated next Thursday, the 8th of February at 7 o'clock in the evening, and the next edition of Surrey Business Affairs will be on Thursday the 1st of March at 1 o'clock, so do listen in. So it's goodbye from me, Jackie Mitchell.
Surrey Business Affairs. If you'd like to take part, email businessaffairs@brooklandsradio.co.uk. That's Surrey Business Affairs, for and about local businesses in Surrey.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with the Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.